I'm quite grateful to the organizers of this meeting to have the opportunity to speak here on behalf of a user of the IP systems. I think we are fully aligned that the world is facing unprecedented challenges when it comes to the production of food. Not only that we have to produce food for 30% of more people over the next 20 years, also we have to do it on less farmland. Further, we have additional yield demand coming from calorie demand and biofuels. So we do not have to provide for further innovation. We have regarding yield enhancement, we have to provide for these innovation in an even faster and more rapid way. Besides that, we have another challenge which is not yet factored in these graphics, and that is a challenge coming from climate change. And we heard quite a lot in these days that climate change will affect, of course, yield coming from drought, but it has also other issues in the end, like disease pressure, like fungi, and so on. So all that is adding additional demand on the seed sector to provide even better and better adapted seeds. The seed industry is trying to cope with this challenge. Billions of dollars are invested every year. Similar to the pharmaceutical industry, seed companies are investing between 15 and 20% of their revenues into research and development. Like in the pharmaceutical industry, the development of a new crop variety still takes between 10 and 15 years. It's a lot of breeding. It's even if you're working with a genetically modified variety, you still have to do a lot of traditional breeding. So based on that challenges, in the end, the product is always the same. We provide seed to the farmers. And seed is providing a high-tech product in a rather easy-to-copy form. And that makes it quite similar to the entertainment industry. And we are facing similar challenges when it comes to intellectual property. Like the entertainment industry, we see quite a bit of copying by counterfeiters and customers, in our case, the farmers. And I'm not talking about farmers in least developed countries. We do not file patents on seeds in least developed countries. And I'm not talking about use for subsistence farming. We consider that private and non-commercial use, and we do not enforce IP rights against subsistence farming. What we talk about is use by large farmers in the developed countries. In a similar way, like the entertainment industry, we are facing a strong shareware movement. People believe that plants and seeds should be freely copied. Of course, that makes life in that area very difficult. If seed can be copied, and every seed is comprising a small copy factory in itself, it's very, very difficult to retain your investment in the end. So, like the entertainment industry, we really heavily depend on efficient intellectual property systems. I want to touch on a couple of challenges to the patent system regarding plants and seed-related inventions. First, we heard already that we have two systems regarding intellectual property protection for plants. We have the classical patent system, and we have the plant variety protection system like provided by the EUPOF Convention. And sometimes we hear the question, are we facing an issue of double protection? Do we really need to have both systems? You know that under the TRIPS agreement, members may exclude from patentability plants and animals, but they have to provide for protection of plant varieties either by patents or by an effective sui generis system or by a combination of both of them. The sui generis system, as we see it today, is the plant variety protection system as provided by EUPOF. However, if you look on the plant side, we see a tremendous lack of harmonization. I would say there's no area like the area of seeds when it comes to disconnectivity and lack of harmonization. We have a couple of countries which have no exceptions on plant whatsoever, like Australia, Japan, and the United States. Then we have some countries like Europe, the European Patent Convention, which have a narrow applied exemption for plant varieties. Then we have countries which have broad exemptions, no plants on seeds and plants whatsoever. And then we have a couple of countries which have a protection gap. On one hand, you cannot get any claim on plants and seeds, but then on the other hand, you can only get protection under the PVP system for certain species. countries which are operating under the EUPOF 78 convention do not provide PVP protection for every variety. So in these countries, we have a huge number, or it's a sizable number of varieties which cannot get any kind of IP protection. So if you look on the landscape, it's very colorful. A lot of countries have very different provisions, so there is really kind of a need for harmonization. And harmonization, I would suggest, in a way, to further foster innovation in the plant and seed area. If you look on the two systems, patents and plant variety protection, we really believe that these two systems are different and they are complementary and supplementary. They are not alternatives because they are directed to very different subject matter of plant-related innovation. The PVP system, it protects all new varieties which are described by their phenotypical characteristics. They are very, very suitable to protect the traditional experience-based breeding and to protect the genetic background, the germplasm of a plant. The PVP system is, however, not suitable to protect new genes, traits, or breeding processes. For this system, for this protection, we need the patent system. The patent system, while not suitable to protect plants in general, as with the germplasm, it's very suitable to protect new genes, new breeding processes, and new traits. So just to give you an example, if I would cross a variety A which is comprising a new gene or a new trait with a different variety B, under the PVP system, the resulting variety would be already outside of the scope of protection. So the PVP system would not be really the best way to protect the germplasm. The patent system, however, can do that. On the other hand, the patent system would not be really suitable to protect the genetic background on the plant. So we have here really two complementary systems. So both systems are necessary and exist and need to coexist. However, the coexistence is not always without friction. In some areas, like for instance breeder's exemption, there is a dispute how we can further improve the patent system, which at this date is not providing for a breeder's exemption other than in a limited number of countries. So the question is how to cope with that. The concern is that by inserting one patented gene and element, the entire plant, the entire germplasm, the entire genetic diversity becomes deprived from further breeding and it's not accessible anymore. We understand this concern. Some countries like Germany, France, Switzerland have adopted a breeder's exemption in the patent law, allowing the use of genetic background and the patented element for further breeding and development of new varieties. Especially the use of the patented element is, of course, causing an erosion of protection. Development activities are normally not exempted under research provisions, and they cause a much faster way to the market in the end. What we would suggest is, of course, there needs to be a breeder's exemption, but it should allow only for the access to the genetic background, so to develop a variety which in the end is not comprising the patented element, but still gives access to the genetic diversity. Let me touch a little bit on the issue of disclosure of source and origin of biomaterial in the context of patents. That touches a little bit on the Convention of Biological Diversity. To be very clear, we strongly support the CBD system and fair and equitable access and benefit sharing. Breeders heavily depend on genetic diversity. Not only that, we invest quite a bit of number to preserve genetic diversity, and by each variety we provide to the market, we enhance genetic diversity. So genetic diversity is a must-have for the seed industry. However, there are some attempts in the past to link the enforcement on the requirements to disclose source and origin to the validity of patents, and that makes life quite difficult. It makes it quite difficult, especially because there is tremendous lack of harmonization again. We have almost 25 countries, maybe even more, which have put into their patent law various stipulations regarding the declaration of source or origin, prior informed consent, and so on. To have or to fulfill this obligation with one patent application, what normally companies do, is almost impossible. There's a huge lack of harmonization, and maybe there's an opportunity, especially for WIPO, maybe to take some leadership here and strive for a system which is more harmonized. What are the uncertainties we are facing? The first is the different use of source and origin. While the source of biomaterial we can almost always declare, and we have no problem with that whatsoever, to find out about the origin, so the genetic origin, is very challenging. Normally, plants do not really stick to the borders of countries. And it's very, very difficult to find out where originally the biomaterial was coming from. Then, regarding the scope, some countries require that every biomaterial which was used in the context of the patent needs to be disclosed. That can be quite huge. If you look on a modern biotech application, there is not just the gene which is patented. There's also a huge number of enabling technologies, promoters, vectors, and so on. If you need to disclose source and origin of all of these material, it can be quite extensive. Then in the end, the link to validity. Is that a new prerequisite to patentability which goes beyond Article 27 and 29 TRIPS? We are talking about an information here which is not necessary to reduce the invention to practice. So the consequences are a pretty high burden for the applicant to achieve full compliance, then in the end a threat to patent validity, and resulting from that really a discourage to use genetic diversity. And I think this is going contrary to what the Convention of Biological Diversity was intending to achieve. So room for improvement, definitely. First, a common, potentially mutually accepted scheme of acceptance, potentially maybe like the Budapest Treaty and maybe under the roof of the WIPO. And then not a link to patent validity. It can be a disclosure requirement in the context of the patent, but enforcement should be rather through the civil legal system. So far for the challenges. Let me look a little bit into the future and how we can make best use of the IP system as it exists today. We heard today the talk about patent pools, and in the seed area, in some areas, that might be an adequate solution, especially when we are talking about enabling technologies. But also modern systems, how to leverage, how to harness innovation in a better way are required. However, all these systems really need to be underpinned by solid IP protection systems. Like, for instance, innovation networks. People say that most of the smart people do not work in your own company. The resource pool outside of the company is vast. And I believe that the challenges of today, we can only really cope in an efficient way if we build innovation networks. So we are trying it with some of the providers, like, for instance, Innocentive, by building networks with innovators all over the world. How does it work? Well, we post a challenge, a question, a problem on the internet. It's open participation. Everybody can tap into that and provide solutions. Solutions are selected and rewarded, and quite sizable amount of money are paid then to the inventors. And we see a lot of inventors coming from countries like India, for instance, or China, or even from Africa, South America, all over the world. And in many cases, we have follow-up cooperation with these people. So it doesn't stop with the solution of the problem, but goes further into the future. What about open source? Of course, open source is a good way when you want to solve problems which need higher responsiveness of the system. Certain IP assets are not very well utilized if you keep them exclusive. Open source can increase responsiveness and utilization of IP. In the end, we are talking about quite a continuum of openness. We can talk about IP which is never shared to IP which is freely giving away, and open source is somewhere in between. Open source is not a free lunch, or you can do whatever you want. It's not immune from IP system or IP rights. It's a structured way how to harness and innovation to the benefit of all participants. We tried that with a donation of maize genetic stocks for public research, and the only provision we put in is we do not want that people then in the end restrict the further use by filing patents on it. In countries where they need to file patents according to the employee invention law, we are asking for a grant back. Otherwise, just a statement that they would only use PVP to protect the outcome of their research. However, all these systems, to be really functional, they need to be underpinned by effective IP systems.
Without Could IP you conclude, system, please? Thank you.
Yes, 30 seconds. Without effective IP systems, we would not be able to build such kind of structures. So, to conclude, in my view, the patent system has proven to be a very effective way to foster innovation. As it was already said, it's a tool which is neutral in its character. It can be used in very different ways. Some are more effective than the others. However, I believe that the system is well designed and is self-calibrating to ensure a sustainable positive effect. Of course, it requires all our creativity to exploit new ways how to use this tool to further enhance its positive effect on innovation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.